This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnagar, and we're bringing back to Jack's Journal a woman who is all about safety and protecting all of us from predators out there, Barb Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us again, and welcome back to Jack's Journal.
Shefalika, it's great to be back with you. Thank you.
And on this episode, we're going to dive a little deeper into some of the tips that Barb offers as a safety expert who has personal family experience with how to the devastating tragedies that predators can inflict on loved ones, but also the life-changing opportunities you can have to feel free when you go out and live your life, but also know how to protect yourself. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the safety tips. You can find out more as well if you're listening to the show. Go to alwaysbev.com. That's alwaysbev.com. And you can go to staysafebevigilant.com as well, where you can find more of Barb's personal safety tips, including not just for women, but for real estate agents. You can find stuff for college students, and you can just get connected in this network. Are you ready to dive in, Barb?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Let's do this. Intuition is one thing, and learning how to listen to it definitely takes practice and time. But what are the actual tangible things you can do to protect yourself, and how do you get away without triggering the predator to attack?
Well, of course, every scenario is different, okay? So the first thing I want to say, and for you being down in Florida, there was just a recent incident where a woman was being followed and the guy was ramming the back of her car. So obviously she realized she was being followed. And instead of calling the police, she called her husband. And her husband gave her the right information and he said, don't stop. But she came to an intersection and she stopped. And the guy gets out of the car and he takes his long gun and he points it right at her, and the woman opens up the doors, the car doors. He gets inside, and of course they found her body shot and her car torched, you know, just miles away. And so I want to say this: if anybody ever threatens you with a gun, run and don't stop. Don't stop for anything, whether you're driving and you come to a red light, whatever it is. But scream and make noise. You know, if somebody's following you like that, call the police. You want to get attention to your environment as soon as possible, because predators, they don't want to get caught. And had the police been called to that intersection or wherever she was in a timely manner, if she's still driving, they can stop that possibly from happening. So I do want to say that. And if you are walking, if you're in a parking lot, if you're in a garage and somebody pulls out a gun and says, give me your wallet, or give me your purse, and you have your whole paycheck in there, whatever it is, you're going to give it to them. Because in today's world, people will kill you if you don't give them your money. You're going to give them your purse, your money, your car. The only thing they can't have is you. Because as the woman I just described you, if you get into a vehicle with somebody with a gun, or they get into your vehicle with a gun, if you don't crash that car, you're going to end up probably dead. We're probably never going to see you again.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My instinct would be, I guess the instinct she had was to call the person in her world that made her feel the safest.
Sure.
And that is still not the same as the calling the officers. And I never would have thought that if somebody was hijacking my vehicle and I was in it, that the option to crash could be a potential solution as opposed to a danger, you know. But that is... That is interesting. I'm not necessarily recommending it, but I'm also very concerned. Like, how do we know what we're supposed to do in a situation like that? I mean, as if we're essentially being hunted, it's hard to know how. Yeah,
but that's why you take the class. That's why you take the course, is because, see, if you don't know, You're probably not going to know in the moment if you are vulnerable, if you are under pressure, because you get scared. That's being scared. Being scared is not knowing what to do if you're in a vulnerable situation. So like my sister said to me, she goes, why did she let him in the car? And I said, because she was scared. She didn't know what to do. And you always have a better chance of running from a gun than you do being compliant and doing whatever they say, and they say, come with me or I'll shoot. You have a better chance of survival if you run.
My goodness. Okay.
Yeah, no, you have to know what to do ahead of time. And so just kind of sometimes, you know, just playing the what if game, like, you know, you're leaving a concert and you're walking to your car and there's a guy leaning against another car. You know, you guys see him. Do you say, what do we do if he comes over here? Or do you just put your head down and ignore him and keep going? Like, if you just play the what if game and say, what do we do if he comes? And you'll say, we'll just start saying, stop, stop, stop. You know, we'll draw attention. You have a plan. That's the right thing to do. But if you ignore him and you guys put your heads down, and the next thing you know, he comes up from behind you and he's robbing you, now that's vulnerable. Now your blood pressure and all the blood is rushing to your brain, and now it's hard to think of the right thing to do.
I see. How do we actually practice the tactics that keep us from being, you know, isolated or manipulated in real time? Are there any other types of tricks and tips you can give us?
Yeah. So one of the first topics I cover in my course, I call it areas of isolation. And when you so awareness is really understanding, you know, it's an understanding in a couple different scenarios. And one is understanding when you're isolated and you're like, well, Barb, you know, I know I'm alone, but this is what I mean. So you go to the beach on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It's not isolated, right? Everybody else is around. But now, how about a Saturday night? Saturday night, you go to dinner and you're having drinks at the bar and you're at a restaurant right on the beach. And somebody at the bar says to you, want to go for a walk on the beach? Boom, the beach is isolated. See, that's what you have to understand, that sometimes our most comfortable environments can be areas of isolation. So when you know that, you think differently. Another scenario, and it might not happen, you work at a news station, so there's probably always someone there, but let's just say somebody who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a story about a woman who has a 9-to-5 job, and she's going to go on vacation with her family. So on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, she stops by the office. What's the office on Sunday at 2 o'clock? It's isolated.
Absolutely.
And the only person there, yeah, the only person there was a security guard. And of course, he portrayed, I'm here to keep you safe. And when she went inside, he went inside and he ended her life just like that. And so when you know you're going to be in an area of isolation, you have to have a plan. Men or women, you have to have a plan. You have to, and that's why I always say, take somebody with you. I mean, even if she was able to take her husband with her or a friend with her, whatever it is, when somebody's with you, your chances of staying safe are better. So for people that like to exercise, you know, and they like to go on trails, you know, the time to go is not at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's just not. If someone's with you, that's different. But if you're by yourself, what's your plan? Because it's isolated. Now at 9:30, it's probably more heavily populated. That's a better decision. I still don't recommend going by yourself, but give yourself the best chances to stay safe. Remember, remove opportunities. Remove opportunities from these predators. You talked about 8 out of 10 times the victim knows somebody who committed a sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just say, you know, your group and another group get connected and you're going to go to a football game. And you go to the football game and afterwards we're going to go to a party. And maybe we stop by somebody's house and you got to use a restroom. And you say, I'm going to go to the restroom upstairs. Boy, when somebody follows you up those stairs, that's when it happens. Take somebody with you. Say, come to the bathroom with me. Because I know these stories. This is a true story where even though he hung out with this group at a football game, he threw her down on the bed. She had a dress on and he began to sexually assault her at the end of the day because he thought he could. And so the other thing I want to say, you talk about victims not being able to talk about it. It's so important to report it. Because if we don't report it, they're just going to keep doing it to other people. They're never going to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and we know these things when we have friends or we experience these tragedies ourselves. We know these things. We've been told, talk about it, tell somebody. Or if somebody that you know and care about was hurt 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it still has a psychological, mental, and emotional impact on who they are and their sense of being able to trust others. You know, it's really hard to see the long-term effects down the line, but it's also equally as important 20, 30 years later to still talk about it with somebody that can show you that it's safe, they're safe, they're trustworthy. It's perhaps just a little bit of freedom from a life built on being violated and being hurt and having to even like primarily I've noticed, especially with a lot of the reports I've done here, you know, the margin of men in the state who are victims of interpersonal violence, sexual assault, or just any type of domestic violence, the margin, you know, is not as it's maybe 7 to 9 percentage points less than the women, reportedly. And by by many statistics, according to Florida's governing bodies, there are a lot of men who just don't report these things. And so I do want to I want to put that out there that there, it's an important thing to recognize that any victim of sexual violence, you know, rape, assault, domestic violence, these are all... these are all people who deserve to be heard and taken care of. And these are, it's not okay whether you're male or female. And it's to do it, and it is okay to talk about it if you're a man, if you're a woman. And we have to acknowledge that there are so many silent victims out there that go unknown.
I mean, you gave the number for Florida, which was over 7,000, but that's only people that are reporting it. So, I mean, if you think that's a large number, and it is, that's only the cases that are being reported. There's over 400,000 sexual assaults a year in the United States.
Yes.
But that is the number of that's being reported. And we know, I think, I believe less than half are being reported. Yeah. I really do.
There are a lot of people who are in long-term committed relationships, even marriages, that have partners, wives or husbands that are perhaps... they're domestically violent inside the home, and the couple already has this established, you know, on the surface, this is our connection, this is our relationship. And I see a lot of cases there where particularly men as well go silent because they can't tell someone that they're afraid to go home every day after work. And they, maybe that's why they stop by, you know, the pub and meet their friends, or maybe that's why they play golf all weekend long so they don't have to spend, but maybe that's why they wear long sleeve shirts on a hot Florida day because they've got bruises too. And
you're right. You're absolutely right. The way people dress, a change in how they dress is all indication to us that somebody is possibly being abused.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the time that you've given me so far, and I would like to know a little bit more about what's coming up for you this year and what we can look forward to. How can we find these classes you teach, and how can we participate?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, first of all, the in-person class is just, it's so engaging because I use the audience. You know, I bring people up and I go, who's getting gas on the way home? Come on up here. And we go over safety at a gas station, and we go over safety walking through parking lots. We go over all the different scenarios. So in person, I mean, please reach out to me at alwaysbev.com. That's where you can find all my contact information. And if you're looking for the online class, if you're like, well, I'm just an individual, but I want to know more about your safety, you can go to alwaysbev.com and under the tabs, click on online courses. And it'll take you to Stay Safe, Be Vigilant, where you can find the safety courses.
I see. And on staysafebevigilant.com, those safety courses include like even a women's personal safety course and a realtor safety course. That's interesting.
It's just a branch. It's just a leg that I got into this last year, but because they're vulnerable, because they work in areas of isolation. And so they're just, you know, every realtor needs to know how to stay safe. But if the class is all about the warning signs, the charming behavior, you know, how can you tell if somebody has intentions to do violence? How can you trust somebody? In fact, in that online course for women, I play a video of a man who's being interviewed, and I turn the audio off. So all you're watching is his face, and that's it. And he's talking. And I say, he's trying to tell us that he didn't kill his wife. But watch his body. Watch how he clenches his face muscles, his teeth. Watch his eyes. He can't make eye contact. His eyes roll to the back of the head, and he rubs his face, and he rubs his neck. Those are all signs that somebody is being deceitful. Now, just because you're in line at the grocery store and somebody's rubbing their face doesn't mean they're going to do something violent. But when you have concern over somebody and they start sweating or rubbing their face, rubbing their neck, their foot is tapping, they're shaking their feet when they're sitting down, you have to learn that the signals that people give off when they're about or could be thinking about doing something violent.
That's really interesting. It's, you know, I will say one question I'm having after listening to you. You know, we start off saying, you know, you want us to be able to go outside our home and feel safe. And then we have also these natural instincts and abilities to listen to and learn how to really appreciate and take note of. And there are so many opportunities now that I'm thinking about it for areas of isolation. You know, the realtor course is quite clever in a way because it's their job to sell you an empty house, you know. And they don't have backup. They don't roll up there with a team. You only need one person who's going to want that commission. They don't want to split it. You know, like you never I can see how that's a danger. And I also, you know, something like the gas station safety, you know. That's something we all do, probably many of us after work today or before work Monday or whatever. You know, we're going to do these things. Tell me a little bit about practical tips at some place that are the most common, that where we don't have to constantly live in fear. We can actually embrace this idea of going out of our home and feeling safe. But at the gas station, we'll have a little kick in of tips that'll be like, oh, yeah, by the way, maybe I shouldn't do this or that. So help us with that one scenario.
Great question. Okay. So this is what it's about. It's not about walking around and looking right, looking left. Like, I don't want you to live that way. All I want you to do is look and do it naturally. And the gas station is a great example. So when we go to get gas, as we pull up, first of all, you always want to keep your car gas tank at a quarter of a tank or higher, because you have to think of a quarter of a tank as empty. Because if you do that, you get to pick the time of day, and you get to pick the gas station that you go to. But we've all been there on fumes where we're like, oh my God, I got to get gas at this gas station.
Absolutely.
I'm out of gas. See, that's what you want to avoid, because why? You got a bad feeling, you know? So you're trying to avoid that. So a quarter of a tank is empty. If you do that, you can always get gas during the day and at your favorite gas station. When you pull up, look. Is there anybody, like, is there any cars or anybody there that's concerning? That's all I'm saying is look. Don't just pull up because you're in a hurry. And then when you get out of your car, women, drop your purse on the floor. Don't leave it on your seat. Cover it. So I keep a jacket in my car. I always throw it over my wallet and I throw it on the floor. When you get out of your car, lock your doors, because we don't need anybody coming through the passenger door. And when you put your card in, right, you put your card in, you pull it out, and you put the pump in the car, right? If you're going to stand outside of the car, which is perfectly fine, don't get caught staring at the numbers. And people are listening to this thing. Oh, I look at the numbers. And I'm like, I know you do because you're uncomfortable. Stand with your back to the pump. If you stand with your back to the pump, it's like standing like people watching at an airport. Where do you do that? You stand with your back to the wall. And your head and eyes naturally go left and right. See, nobody's coming through the gas pump. So you stand with your back to the wall, and just naturally your head's going left and right. And it's not really that you're looking for something, but what you're doing is you're showing people, if they're watching you, that you're aware, that you have awareness of your surroundings, because predators don't want to go after people that have awareness. Predators are looking for people who have their heads in their phone, or the person that's staring with their back to the environment, staring at the numbers. Those are the opportunities that they're watching for.
Wow. If you're possibly, if your body language, if you open your body language up, you know, you leave the house, you're trying to, you know, live a fear-free life and be empowered, and you go to the gas station and you realize, okay, I've got a quarter of a gas tank left, and got to fill it up. Put your back to the, I love the fact you said nobody's coming through the gas pump. I just realized you're absolutely right. I never would have thought that. Oftentimes, like if you're out on a date and maybe you know, don't go to the beach at night by yourself after a romantic date, but you're, you know, coming out from dinner or a show or a concert or drinks, and the date you have wants to walk you to your car. So it's a seemingly gentlemanly thing to do, is a seemingly chivalrous thing to do, and it's a seemingly like, okay, it's like a, I'm not going to drive you home and say goodbye at your doorstep, but
right.
I'm going to walk you to your vehicles. Now that essentially, you know, if you are not in a predatory situation, you don't, can't really tell though, but how do you navigate that? Do you always, I don't know.
Well, let's say you hated the date. Let's say you hated the date. Be like, you know what? Can you just walk, just pick a spot? Say, like, maybe you get to four cars away before your car, and you'd be like, this is good. Just watch me from here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You don't have to let them walk you all the way.
But these
especially
people
can if you didn't enjoy yourself, be like, we're good.
Obviously, we're good, obviously. I wouldn't leave the premises with, I wouldn't be like, you can't follow me at the front door, sir. Thank you very much. But
right.
if there is, like, you know, the charm has worked, and you can't necessarily decipher early, even a few dates. And perhaps if this is a person that you don't feel safe with, perhaps the butterflies in your stomach are misread as romantic, when in fact, maybe mm-hmm. your body's telling you, this person makes me nervous, you know. But if you do engage with that and they walk you to your car, what are some ways that you can protect yourself in that situation? If needed.
Well, I want to say this, that most men that are gentlemen understand that women, you know that they're vulnerable. And so the actions that they take are not threatening. And so this is an example of that. So I, as you know, like I did broadcasting for a lot of years, and I had, you know, the same partner for a lot of years, and he was a good friend of mine, but still, you know, we're on the road for a long period of time and we're having drinks and, you know, anything can happen, right? But whenever the night was over and we rode up the elevator together, by the way, an elevator is an isolated area, he would, you know, we'd stop at my floor and he would watch me from the end of the hall to my room to make sure I got in okay. And I always just thought that was the best
mm-hmm.
thing
mm-hmm.
because it never put us in an awkward position where I'd be like, did you want to come in, or oh, are you going to sexually assault me? Like, you know, whatever.
Right.
But that was like, he was a gentleman and he knew it too. Like anything could happen. What if it was me that wanted to say, want to come in and then
right.
spin it around on him that he sexually assaulted me.
Right. That's
so
dangerous.
I think,
yeah.
So I think like people that understand that we are all vulnerable, understand if you feel like you're being rude, you're really not. You're just going to say, hey, can you just walk me? I'm good right here. And they'll be like, no, let me. Be like, no, I'm good, but would you just watch me? They're
mm-hmm.
totally going to know what you're saying, and they're going to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and to me, that's the difference. But somebody that says, no, I'm walking you into your way, I'll be like, that's a yellow flag.
Yeah.
You know? So how you address things, like, please don't worry about being rude or about hurting people's feelings. You always have to put your safety first.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Bev. Well, thank you so much for the time today. I would like to thank our listeners for all of your patience and your open hearts listening to this show of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. I want to thank Barb Jordan, safety expert, and also recommend alwaysbev.com, alwaysbev.com, as well as staysafebevigilant.com. That's where you can find more personal safety courses to sign up for. And you can just stay in touch and ask your own questions. I would like to thank you, Barb, again, for coming on today's show.
Shafalika, you are a fantastic host. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And thank you all for listening.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.